Welcome to another session of the Ecosystem Podcast. This is me again, Sash Mukherjee, Principal Analyst at Ecosystem. And today my guest is our Principal Advisor, Shamir Amanullah. Shamir has over 20 years of experience in the tech, media, and telecom industries, and in that period has had a variety of roles across research, strategy, and business planning, and helping frame government policies. Shamir, welcome to Ecosystem Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Sash.
My pleasure. You have recently published a report that evaluates the key strengths of the leading telecom providers in Southeast Asia. And in that report, you give us a glimpse of what the region can expect from the industry in the near future. And in the report, you also mentioned the telecom providers were at the center of all the turmoil during the COVID-19 crisis. Could you tell us how?
Sure. We have, you know, as you are aware, much to thank the telecom sector for being a bedrock for social and economic activities. You know, can you just imagine how we would have coped, you know, maybe two decades ago without broadband internet? I think in difficult times, they've done a phenomenal job. You know, employees who are working in offices, network sites and retail outlets. We all know Southeast Asia depends primarily on retail outlets. All of these people started to work from home to manage the operations and the customers. Network traffic, on the other hand, moved away from the central business districts to residential locations. Peak usage hours effectively lasted all days with mums and dads at home and children doing their schoolwork, right? These changing traffic patterns obviously has driven carriers to better understand network traffic management and ensure good customer experience. So there was a lot of work that they needed to do as far as their network was concerned to ensure that, you know, they can manage the change in patterns. Early signs of the impact of COVID-19 pandemic on the industry in Southeast Asia was evident when major operators released their first, as well as recently their second quarterly reports of 2020. Not only was there an impact on revenue and profits, telecom operators have been experiencing unprecedented and monumental changes to their operations in recent months.
Right. We know that the telecom industry has had its set of challenges even before the pandemic. So can you take us through some of those challenges and how the pandemic impacted them?
Sure. I will, you know, basically respond to pre-COVID and also what has happened current and post-COVID, right? I think the challenges that the industry has faced, you know, in Southeast Asia and other parts in Asia, it is clear, you know, there's great challenges operating in a highly saturated market. ARPUs are declining. And with the apps economy, the customer demanding for more data allocation has been, you know, something that has been happening for at least in the last 2 years. So much so that key priorities in the consumer market has been really to ensure customer retention. Traditional business models have showed that ARPUs have not grown while networks are being upgraded from, say, 3G to 4G. You know, although there's always hope that the new generation of services, the new generation of networks are going to bring new services to the market, there is the same trepidation with 5G, especially in the consumer segment, at least. Obviously, there's great hope for enterprise going forward, you know. I guess the market in Southeast Asia, you can probably categorize it into three tiers. Singapore being the most advanced. When I refer to tiers, I refer to postpaid against prepaid customers. Singapore has got a ratio of 60 to 70% to 30. And, you know, they have the highest paying average revenue per user. However, in the quarter ending March of 2020, the top three operators reported something like, you know, 12 to 15%. Which is actually the sharpest of the countries that we covered as far as ARPU decline goes. And those levels actually has brought the Singaporean postpaid and prepaid ARPUs closer to Malaysia. Malaysia, on the other hand, could be grouped with Thailand, you have about 40% prepaid and about 60% postpaid. Thailand has got, you know, a smaller level of postpaid subscribers. With AIS, their main, market leader, reporting 22% postpaid customers. Indonesia and Philippines are highly populous. And you know, it's about 95-97% prepaid market. So the ARPU is extremely low, something like $2 per month. However, it is important to note that there's much excitement in the digital economy in those two countries. Now, current and post COVID challenges go like this. And I think one of the things we've seen is that the pandemic has accelerated digitalization for consumers and enterprises, and the telecommunications industry has been the pillar that has kept the world ticking over. Having said that, the industry now faces new challenges posed by limited movement of people, change in work practices with many being at home, and many experts do believe that these new customer behaviors are going to remain going forward. Telecom operators effectively need to devise their services to address these new demands. The rise of the network traffic has not necessarily resulted in increase of revenue for most of the operators in Southeast Asia, at least based on the first quarter. And I think the second quarter numbers look a little bit more grim than the first one. There has been some winners. I'm referring to the first quarters, Maxis and Digi in Malaysia, DTEC and True in Thailand, PLDT and Globe in the Philippines, Indosat, Ooredoo and Excel, Axiata and Indonesia. But there has been others that have struggled as well. Celcom and Telecom Malaysia have not done as well as they expected. And the Singaporean trio of Singtel, StarHub, and M1. And AIS suffered a very marginal decline in Q1 in terms of revenue. The consumer prepaid segment also is a casualty because, you know, as we are aware, tourist numbers have fallen really sharply. Roaming losses because of travel restrictions and a general decline in ARPU due to austerity measures taken by most consumers. And some governments like Thailand and Malaysia have been, you know, giving out, you know, free data. And that has also really curtailed the reload amounts, right? So on the other hand, fixed voice revenues have been hit because a lot of collaboration tools such as Zoom and Teams have gone up. On the plus side, though, postpaid and fixed broadband services have shown stable performances. I mean, broadband being used at home more than ever. And the other trend to note is that equipment sales have really suffered, you know, due to global supply chains disruption. I think many premium customers, you know, would sign up for a postpaid package that comes with a premium handset. And, you know, one thing is the fact that the physical retail channels have been curtailed. And secondly, the global supply chains have definitely impacted, you know, that line of revenue. I think another trend which is of concern to quite a few operators is that, you know, slower payments from customers you know, is being experienced.
Right. That is a very, very detailed landscape. So just fast forward to the future. Where do you think the opportunities lie for telecom operators in the region?
Well, the telecom operators have improved their network with increased deployment of 4G. You know, I mean, yes, 5G is something that we will talk about in the second podcast, but I think the 4G network, CAPEX is going towards that. CAPEX is going towards improving their IT stacks in order to be more agile, in order to deploy services quickly. You know, in the past, it is not a surprise that, you know, between devising a package and bringing it to market could be months. You know, now it's most of them are probably ready to roll out in weeks. But I think one of the things that the telecom operators are facing really is that, you know, they need to be able to do what the OTT players have done. You know, for example, you know, the app economy if you look at it, the ones that have really benefited are the OTT players, you know, revenues for tech companies like AWS, Google, and Facebook have grown multiple folds in the last decade, you know, due to a customer-focused approach, in as opposed to the general mass market utility telco mentality. So clearly, you know, the telecom operators need to change their hats and play in a different environment, in addition to providing the mass market infrastructure, obviously. So the priorities have been to really defend the revenue of core services, but it is also true that most of Southeast Asia is likely to depend on non-telecom services revenue for new growth areas. I think the next decade promises a considerable shift for telecom operators as the enterprise space and digitization of everything gathers steam, and this provides for tremendous opportunity. It is also evident that telecom operators are improving their customer intimacy and recognize the need to move away from the old ways. And I think ecosystem research shows that enterprises are increasingly including telecom operators as key partners in their digital transformation efforts, and have identified key operators that they would prefer to partner in each country. I think the edge has gone closer towards the customer, and services are being able to be provided to them in a much more quick manner. And obviously a lot of enterprises and consumers are moving to the clouds, right? Telecom operators have limited experiences serving these enterprise customers, and they'll need to partner with the tech vendors who obviously have more nows in this area for the go-to-market strategy. By partnering with the right telecom operators in each market, tech vendors have an opportunity now to enhance the IT market offering of these operators ahead of the 5G rollout. I think there are exceptions. There are some who have done really well. For example, Singtel, who won Best Enterprise Service and the Broadband Pioneer Awards in the World Communications Award 2019. StarHub also, in their recent second quarterly report, announced 7.7% growth in the enterprise business for a year-on-year comparison to June of 2020. I guess one thing that is going to drive the enterprise take-up is that, you know, the 5G ecosystem is really going to inculcate cross-sector innovation and collaboration, leading to new business models and new opportunities. And enterprises are also spending on technology for business continuity planning, collaboration for work from home, and cybersecurity solutions. Trends show that spending on these services on the up. Singtel, for example, in its first quarter report, quarterly financial report, said that, you know, 64%, estimated 64% of its revenue came from enterprise businesses, a key market segment which other operators in the region are aspiring to build. As I mentioned, you know, StarHub also enjoyed, you know, a real good performance as far as the enterprise segment goes, especially in the cybersecurity space.
Right. Shamim, we have time for just one more question, and I'm going to put you on a bit of a spot here. Which country do you think has the fastest trajectory to being a digital economy in this region? Let's just leave Singapore out of it for now. So, of the others.
Well, I think the digital economy has much room to grow. You know, ASEAN is a huge block, you know, what, 600-700 million people, I think. And, you know, so clearly the growth of the digital economy is going to ensure that the telecoms market benefits from this trend, right? I think Indonesia stands out for me. So many exciting things have been happening recently. They've attracted impressive investments from Facebook and PayPal, and WhatsApp aims to connect small businesses to customers of their, you know, famed unicorns such as Gojek. You know, the potential is massive. You know, they have 260 million people. Google Cloud also launched in Jakarta in June of 2020. Which enables customers to have quicker access to a suite of cloud services, including computing, storage security, analytics, AI, and application development. Indonesia is only the 9th location in the Asia Pacific and the 2nd in Southeast Asia after Singapore to have Google Cloud. And this is a testament to their success in the digital economy. And clearly, you know, the unicorns such as Tokopedia, Bukalapak, Gojek, and Traveloka. I think it's important to note, I find this fascinating because, you know, they are laggards in 5G and arguably their telecommunications infrastructure has not, can you know, has much room for improvement. However, the population and the appetite to use these apps have attracted much investment from global leading world-class companies.
Right. Thank you, Shamir, for your time. It was an absolute pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure too.
So for our audience, as Shamir mentioned before, we will be doing this again. So watch out for part two of my conversation with Shamir on 5G rollouts and their implications. Thank you for listening. You will find Shamir's report and lots more insights on the ecosystem.